Good morning. You listen to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Joe Yarbrough, the president of the Carpet and Rug Institute. Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, Kemp. Thanks for the opportunity to speak with you today.
Yes, it's good to talk to you. I've been wanting to catch up with somebody on this. We've been watching in the news as the state of California has passed, the governor just, I guess, last week signed this new legislation. It's called AB 1158, and we should just quick remind our listeners there was a legislation that was passed in 2010 called 2398, and it started at a nickel a yard assessment, and then it's gone all the way up, and I think now it's a quarter a yard. But it was fees that were to be gathered to try to minimize the amount of post-consumer carpet that ended up in the landfill. So now this new law, if you don't mind, tell our listeners what this new law is doing.
Well, the new law, Kip, is an amendment to AB 2398, mm-hmm. and as you've mentioned, it's called AB 1158. And I want to tell you just right up front that, you know, this is now a part of the statute in California, mm-hmm. and the Carpet and Rug Institute members and the CARE organization is going to do everything possible to conform with the requirements of that law and comply with the spirit of the law, because that just sort of melt with our overall industry's commitment to serve our customers, our communities. So, you know, we've long been committed to sustainable and beautiful products for people in their homes, schools, and commercial spaces. So this is something that's going to be difficult for our industry to comply with, and I can go into some reasons why the articles in the law are conflicting and contradictory in many cases, and it's going to be a challenging thing to deal with the enormous cost and complexity that this amendment is going to create. Obviously, we're going to do everything we can to make it work.
Yeah, let me give you a little bit more background. I go to CARE every year. For one thing, CARE, by the way, is an organization that's got several different groups on the board. I don't know why when the California state legislators talk about CARE, they say it's an industry organization, because it's not. One of the things I do want to talk about is the fact that the CARE, with its efforts and with what's going on with 2398, the amount of carpet that's been diverted now is at 16%. This new law wants it to be at 24% by 2020. One of the reasons that we had a little dip in the amount of carpet that was recycled, I guess there's actually three reasons. One many know is the price of oil went down. It was at over $100 a barrel and went down to, you know, 20 there for a little while. So that makes recycled materials not competitive. That was one huge thing. And then you had the introduction of PET carpet, which didn't have as many downstream uses for recycled materials. And then you also had the closing of this very costly to run facility in Augusta, Georgia called Evergreen. And so, you know, those three things together really kind of put the skids on what the organization was able to do. Isn't that right?
That is absolutely correct, Kemp. And the unfortunate thing is that recycling of any product, and particularly one as complex as carpet, there is no simple one-size-fits-all solution to carpet recycling. The many recycling processes that are available today, we've supported financially through the subsidies in California, as well as research grants that have been done through the support of CARE to identify end-use markets, because no amount of recycling is going to be successful unless there are downstream markets that can consume the materials that come from that. And since the inception of CARE, which is just over 15 years ago now, we've taken an industry that was in its infancy back then in 2001, and we've diverted 4.6 billion pounds of carpet from landfills. That's been no small task. In California, where there was already significant infrastructure to attempt to recycle post-consumer carpet, when we began this program back in 2011, there was about 4% post-consumer carpet being recycled in the state of California. Our five-year plan called for a target recycling output at the end of 2016 in our original plan to attain a 16% recycling rate. By the way, we were 90 days late achieving that target. In the first quarter of this year, we achieved 16.3%, and we've maintained close to that 16% rate through the three quarters of this year. So when all said and done, we have developed markets in the state of California's recycled material, but we're also finding markets across the rest of the country, because this needs to be a market-based driven solution for it to be both economically viable and an industry that's sustainable over the long haul.
I guess the $64 question here is, how in the world do we get from 16 to 24 in 2.5 years? How do we do that?
Obviously, the CARE Sustainable Plan Committee works with Bob Peoples and his team mm-hmm. to do everything we can to address that question. We've spent countless hours over the last 6 to 9 months working on that $64 question.
Yeah.
There are a number of new capacity outlets that are being developed in and outside of the state of California. One of those is to convert nylon 6 face fiber in post-consumer carpet back into nylon pellets through a repolymerization process. There's a factory in the upper Midwest that's going to make plastic lumber. The plastic lumber situation is taking old technology, modifying it to updated technology to make these materials. Those two alone are going to consume significant amounts of post-consumer material, probably not only from California, but other states as well. And it's just a matter of getting that technology refined and operating efficiently and effectively. And we believe we'll be able to meet these goals. But it's a matter of timing. Having a goal that's got a calendar date on it doesn't account for the things that happen in the real world. So to have this artificial date of January 1st, 2020, to reach that 24% basically takes away 1 year of the cycle that we were proposing in our negotiations with CalRecycle, that we could accomplish at that level by the end of 2020. Mm-hmm. So we've basically, through this law, lost one full year to get to that target.
All right, let me ask you a quick question. I find it very interesting here. I've been kind of watching this from the sidelines, and I see the Carpet and Rug Institute, obviously an organization of some of the biggest players, most of the players in the business, and there seems to be a divide because you've got two of the carpet producers that are in favor of this legislation, and then most of the others on the other side. So tell us a little bit about that, if you would.
Well, Kim, I have to say that I believe that the companies that came out in favor of this law, and by the way, those companies represent less than 10% of the total carpet volume here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. We believe their position was based on a self-interested opinion of what the definition of the highest recyclability should be. And by taking that stance in supporting this new law, AB 1158, it has been done and modified at the detriment of the overall program.
All right, and those two companies are Tarkett and Interface, right?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
All right, so where do we go from here? What's the next steps? I mean, this is law, so just try to work hard and submit a plan to try to get us there. Is that right?
That is correct, and I can assure you that those who are part of this effort are going to continue to do everything they can. You know, carpet recycling is just one component of our industry's comprehensive commitment to sustainability. If you look at the long-term solutions and the efforts our manufacturing members are making, reducing water use, reducing energy, striving for zero waste manufacturing plants, and there are now dozens of those factories in our industry that are zero waste, utilizing materials that are supportive of human health, incorporating recycled content into carpet products, and designing those products now for future recyclability. So our industry is doing a lot of things in a comprehensive way to address sustainability and recycling.
Joe, there's one other dimension to this argument that I need to bring up, but just real quickly. We've seen tires and we've seen batteries and we've seen these kind of producer responsibility fees there. The difference with this situation is there's other types of flooring that the consumer can buy, and it's almost working against the competitiveness of carpet because there's no fees to these other materials. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir. I think that's a very fair statement, that carpet is one of the few, if not the only, product that has very competitively priced alternatives that the consumer will accept, whereas batteries, mattresses, got to have paint to put on your wall, those products all have fairly limited alternatives, whereas flooring has many alternatives, and carpet is certainly being subjected to a very different standard, apparently, than most other things.
Okay, Joe, appreciate you giving us some feedback on this, telling our listeners about the situation here. Again, been talking to Joe Yarbrough, president of the Carpet and Rug Institute, and you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.